Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's September 19, 2016, and this is episode 541. Welcome to part 3 of a 4-part series to share my experiences and 10 more images from my recent East Greenland photography adventure, including some breaching whale photos. I'm now back in Tokyo having completed my Iceland Full Circle tour with a great group, and I'll be reporting on that and share some Iceland work with you in a couple of weeks. Today we're going to continue this Greenland series, picking up the trail on the morning of August 29. Shortly after leaving Tasiilaq, we encountered a number of humpback whales, and I shot this photo of the fluke as one of them dived. I always enjoy encounters with whales. It never ceases to amaze me how they let us get so close like this. I shot this at 234mm with my 100-400mm lens, and it's uncropped, so you can appreciate how close we get. If we were simply whale watching, we could actually get closer, and our speedboat drivers often tried to, but we need to keep a little more distance than they can get so that we can get a nice background in the shot as well. After this encounter, we continued on a long sail to a remote settlement known as Tillerilaq, as you can see in this photograph as we approach the town. It took us about 3 hours to get to Tillerilaq, including a few stops for whales, of course. To get there, we headed east out of Tasiilaq, then northeast up and travelled around one-third of the way up the Amasiilaq Fjord, then northwest along the Ikasaktivaq Channel. At the end of the channel, we dog-legged left along a short channel to the settlement. It was almost disappointing to see such modern boats moored here, but as you can imagine, these boats are very important to the Inuit people, so they tend to push the boat out a little bit when deciding on their rides. Pardon the pun. We climbed up onto the quay and made lunch on a few pallets that were stacked there, then took a walk around the town. At about the furthest point that we could walk, this house was surrounded by grass and the cotton grass, Eriophorum, which is found most commonly on Arctic tundra. The foliage in Greenland seems to almost have a sense of urgency about it, trying to cram all that it needs to do into just a few short months of the summer before the harsh winter sets in again. In the distance in this photograph, we can see the Sermilaq Fjord, which we'd sailed down earlier in the trip, and we continued to access through the tiny passage in the middle of this image shortly after I shot this. We of course took this opportunity to shoot more of the amazing icebergs, although we tended to be a little bit more particular now that we'd seen and photographed so many. One thing that we like to do is to find icebergs with arches such as the one in this image, and then try to find some supporting actors like the berg that you can see in the distance through the arch, and the foreground berg with much of its blue underwater portion visible. This was near a tiny island called Takisek, around a third of the distance that we'd travelled down the Sermilaq Fjord. Just along from here, we also encountered the jagged iceberg that you can see in this next image. We'd been shooting sunburst images with the sun just above the berg, but here I actually like the sky with the flare caused by the sun instead of the sunburst, and there is a bit of a sunburst in the reflection just left of centre here, and I also find that quite appealing. We continued to photograph the icebergs as we made our way down the fjord into open ocean and started heading back towards Tasiilaq, when we had one of the most magical experiences of my life so far. We'd seen whales on this stretch of water a number of times, but at the end of this day, we saw them breaching in the distance, and tension on our boat instantly raised as we initially started to speed towards them, seeing two breach at the same time. Then our speedboat driver stopped and let us know that the whales were coming towards us and that we should just wait for them to swim past. Despite the whales being so far away when we first spotted them, in just a minute or so they were close enough to the boat for me to capture this photograph as one of them breached heading straight for us. This is cropped slightly and also rotated a little to straighten the horizon, but pretty much a full 50 megapixel photo, so I was incredibly happy to have captured this shot. We also have a cameo appearance from the seagull, kind of mirroring the flight of one of the largest mammals on the planet. Just 38 seconds later, the whales were beside our boat, and I shot this image of another humpback whale, this time from the side. This is uncropped, though rotated slightly to straighten the horizon, so the detail in this image is incredible. I have some photos of the splash that follows these jumps, although as photos they don't mean much because you can't see the cause. But the splash that these huge animals make as they re-enter the water was also an incredible sight to see. I have a few other shots of the breaching, but these are my favourites. And I was absolutely over the moon to have not only witnessed this, but to have been able to capture a number of quality images as well. The mental image of the two that breached together will haunt me for years to come, but I have no complaints with what I did capture. I recall spending hours in the Zodiac in the Lemaire Channel in Antarctica in 2011, waiting and hoping to see, and maybe photograph, a whale breaching. But then, just as we had to leave and go back to the ship, our Zodiac driver told us that he'd just seen one breach behind us. This old ghost was exorcised by these new photographs. I guess now I just have to hope that one day I'll capture a breaching pair to exorcise my new ghosts as well. Before we move on, I'd also like to remind you of how happy I am with the performance of the Canon EOS 5DSR cameras. Coupled with the 100-400mm Mark II lens in this case, the autofocus snaps straight onto these whales as they appeared from the water. If you keep in mind that we have no idea where they're going to pop up as they breach like this, you can probably appreciate how difficult it could be to frame them quickly and achieve focus. But it was just not a problem at all, for me at least. So when people try pigeonholing the 5DS as a landscape and still life camera, just point them to my website and together we can hopefully continue to explode these myths spread by people that are trying to find reasons not to want this camera. If you don't want or need the resolution, of course the new Canon EOS 5D Mark IV is in many ways now a better camera. But I do wish people would just buy what they want and be happy with it, rather than putting down all of the gear that they don't want in a strange war dance to protect their fragile egos. The following day, we had a day off from the speedboats and had a walk around Tasiilaq in the morning. Then in the afternoon, another professional photographer that had been tagging along with us and I chartered a helicopter on the understanding that we would be able to open the windows and shoot the landscape from the air. I was initially going to take one camera with my 24-70mm lens on it, but before we left the hotel, I decided to also take my 100-400mm lens on a second 5DSR, and I also slipped my 11-24mm lens into my vest pocket. We took off from the heliport at Tasiilaq, and before we knew it, we'd flown over the mountains northwest of the town and were flying over the Sermilaq field. This takes a couple of hours to get to by boat, so it was surprising how quickly we got above this area. This first aerial photograph that I want to share is of an iceberg that we saw, with that amazing blue pool, almost looking like the eye of a fish or a huge island with a second island to the bottom right. If you look carefully, you can just see the base of the iceberg receding into the water, But I have some other shots where the bass is much brighter and more prominent, and I'll share one of those with you in the concluding episode of this series next week. Moments later, we were over the Hahn Glacier, which we'd also sailed to earlier. We had moored on the little outcrop of land that you can see towards the bottom left of this image. The Slot Canyon-style photo that I shared with you last week was from this location. I had actually not liked any of the shots of the glacier itself from our previous visit, but seeing it from above like this gave it a whole new look and enabled me to put things into perspective. Although I'll share some shots next week of the main glacier that covers the huge expanse of the Greenland mainland. We continued on and landed our helicopter across from the Heim Glacier and had a quick walk down to the rocky shore, as you can see in this photograph. To the right of the Heim Glacier, you can also see strands of the Kagtilasorpia Glacier. I switched to my 11-24mm lens for this image and shot this wide open at 11mm. This not only helps to show the expanse of the landscape, but gives the impression that all of the rocks on the beach are pointing inwards, and the same goes for the chunks of ice in the water and the sky. They all seem to be pointing towards a central vanishing point, and I really like this look. Before we wrap up, I just wanted to mention a tip for shooting from a helicopter based on this experience. Just as I had been shooting at around a 500th of a second shutter speed to overcome the vibration and movement of our speedboat while on the water, in a helicopter there's much more vibration to overcome. Because of this, I kept my shutter speed as high as possible for the aerial shots. I increased my ISO to 800 and shot between a 1600th and a 3200th of a second while in the air. The shots came out great with no blurred images, despite hand-holding a 50-megapixel camera. I was very happy with the results, which was a relief when you consider that this little excursion cost me about $900 US, but it was worth every penny. We'll continue to look at four more aerial photos from this flight in the next episode, along with some aurora shots, among other things, to wrap up this series. I hope you'll tune in again next week. Thanks very much for listening today. If you enjoy this podcast, please share a link with your friends. Subscribe in iTunes or your favorite podcast program to ensure uninterrupted delivery. If you have a moment to rate the podcast or leave us a review in iTunes, that helps to keep us relevant in a huge number of podcasts out there now. You can find me on Google+, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, etc. And links to everything that I'm up to are at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with that final part of this four-part series, but in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.